News Radio WJPF. Our guest this morning is Mark Curran, large background in law enforcement, but also now a candidate running for the seat in the U.S. Senate held by Senator Dick Durbin. Mark, first off, morning. How have you been?
Doing great, Tom. Thank you.
Following you on Facebook, you've been doing a lot of campaign appearances in person. You've been out beating the bushes.
I've been working as hard as you can work, Tom. No doubt.
Hey, I tell you what I want to try to do this morning is we had a world of topics before COVID-19, a world of important things that were going on that we eventually will start returning to. And so I kind of want to take that task with you this morning of running down some of these items, Mark. Let's do this. Let's try to take the COVID filters off our eyes. And remember, before COVID-19, all this, let's take a look at one of the items that was a hot 4 years ago topic when it came to the presidential election and still is in many ways. Illegal immigration. As we speak, another caravan has formed in Central America and is coming towards America. People are questioning the timing. Immigration in the United States. Where do you stand, Mark?
So the funding for immigration comes out of the House, and they're not giving the president enough money. I mean, I'm in favor of building the wall. I'm in favor of increasing the number of Border Patrol agents, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and FBI, all of those to fight illegal immigration. I mean, we have human trafficking, narco-terrorism, and jihadists all trying to come into this country to destroy it.
All right, here's another one. The economy before COVID was literally gangbusters. Stock market, job, some of the lowest unemployment rates, and whether you're talking about minorities, whatever the case. All right, so what happens when COVID is gone? Will pent-up demand return us to our state, or will the government need to continue to provide assistance to return us to the rails?
Well, the reality is that we shouldn't have been shut down as long as we've been, and we need to reopen. Government is the problem, as Ronald Reagan said. It's not, the solution. So in Cook County, they're saying that more than half of the businesses that are independent, that are not franchised, are not going to return. I mean, it's pretty frightening, and that's, the government did that. So ultimately, I think we need to reopen, and when we reopen, we need to get government off the backs of small businesses. Less regulation, less taxation, and let's hold the trial lawyers off. They're the reason why a lot of these businesses aren't reopening. The Illinois trial lawyers put out a statement saying that they'd sue anyone that opened. I mean, that's really not what we need right now. Illinois is such a trial lawyer-friendly state.
Yeah. Do you think that, when it comes to the economy and getting back, the topic here in Illinois is the upcoming November is the fair tax. Will that derail? Because Illinois was behind to begin with because of the practices here. And I know we're talking about state-level politics. Illinois lagged behind in the recovery from 2008-2009 dramatically because of the way the state is handled in administration. So fair tax in Illinois, bad timing at the least.
Right. It's horrible. The idea is horrible. If Illinois continues to out-tax all its neighboring states, there's no reason why people are going to stay in Illinois. Everybody I talk to is already looking for the door. So really, really bad idea to make us less competitive with essentially everywhere around here, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa.
We're speaking with Republican candidate for the Senate, Mark Curran, seeking the seat currently held by Senator Dick Durbin. Another issue is gun rights, one that's dramatically important here in Southern Illinois to the residents here. The comments by the VP candidate about a mandatory buyback program, that's an oxymoron right there. If it's mandatory, it's not a buyback program. Gun owners' rights under the Democrats, gun owners' rights under the Republicans. This is one of the more important parts, still not getting as much press as maybe it deserves.
Right, I agree. Second Amendment is critical. I'm a strong Second Amendment proponent. Very much believe in the Second Amendment, and will defend those rights. And that's a big split between the left and the right now. The left obviously wants to take all the guns away, and as they make this world increasingly less lawful, and they embolden the bad guys out on the streets. I think that we need our guns more than ever.
Is the term "all the guns taken away," or you just used "all the guns"? They want to take all the guns away. Is that hyperbole, Mark?
Not necessarily. I mean, saw what Beto O'Rourke said in the primary, that he was going to come into your homes and take your guns. I mean, I think that there's, up where I live, there's an anti-Second Amendment bias, and so many of these people would love to see a world in which nobody had a gun, there was no such thing as hunting or any type of sports shooting or anything else. So, no, it's not hyperbole.
Social justice is an issue that we were experiencing since, well, forever, but heightened since Ferguson as it continues. And, of course, what we've seen here, and literally, the streets of Chicago ripped millions upon millions of dollars in damages. With your background in law enforcement, how can we restore faith in the police and the black community How can we restore some civility to the streets of the United States when we are literally burning things down?
Right, Tom. So obviously I'm running against Dick Durbin, who's, in favor of taking guns away and in favor of less liberty and less freedom for the citizens. Dick Durbin has done nothing as far as the rioting in the streets. He refuses to call them out. He's all about the defund the police crowd. So if I'm elected to the United States Senate, there's not going to be anyone in the United States Senate that has a stronger background in law enforcement. As you mentioned, I was a former county, state, and federal prosecutor, longest serving sheriff, former coroner, basically done every job there is. What happens, what we need to have happen is these police agencies, departments need to be emboldened to do their job. They need the support. In most of these big cities, you have a big city mayor that selected a police chief or a police superintendent and then puts that individual under their thumb. So even though the superintendent is told how to handle these riot situations, he knows what to do. He's told to stand down by the big city mayor. In our case, Lori Lightfoot, she lives with her wife in a very nice neighborhood of Chicago, Saugeen-Ash. She has all these police right in front of the house, and then she's telling the superintendent to stand down. I mean, it's just, she has no business being in the policing at all whatsoever. So one of the proposals I have is to get these mayors out of that business.
I got to tell you, though, some of the decisions made by state's attorneys from coast to coast leave me in a state of shock.
Right. I mean, we're up here, and we have Kim Fox is the state's attorney in Cook County, and I mean, she's horrible. She's released all these horrible human beings that go out and recommit or commit new offenses, and the area is far less safe as a result.
The Affordable Care Act, a lot of talk about this recently in relationship to the Supreme Court, which we'll get to in a couple of moments. But what role does federal government play in health care? Where does it begin? Where should it begin and end, Mark?
Right. My opponent, Dick Durbin, who was a big proponent of the Affordable Care Act, ultimately his end game is to move towards single-payer health care. For me, that's just a disaster. We can't do that. Single-payer is what makes the American healthcare system the best in the world, and that's why people come from all over the globe to enjoy the benefits of our healthcare and the fact that we have the best doctors. What I would recommend is there's about 9% of the population that's at or near poverty level that doesn't have healthcare, and I think that probably we expand Medicaid a little bit to encompass them. But at the end of the day, we need to make healthcare more competitive. We need insurance companies to be able to compete across state lines. We need healthcare corporations, hospitals, to have to post the costs of procedures. And ultimately, the president has been talking about that a lot, and that'll help drive down the cost. Dick Durbin's got recent filings, $1.3 million from trial lawyers, plaintiff's lawyers. That's why doctors are leaving the state in droves, is that, their malpractice is way too high. But by the same token, he's gotten a lot from the healthcare industry. So the healthcare industry does not, don't think of them as the nurses. The nurses are struggling to make ends meet. Think of them as the hospital guys at the top that have the laws written only for them and not for the consumer or the nurses and doctors.
Last Thursday, Treasury Department data indicates $27 trillion national debt. Now, people say, well, COVID-19. We would have reached $27 trillion without COVID-19 because we're spending our brains out, right, on everything. We're throwing money left and right in huge piles of money. What can be done with a $27 trillion national debt? How do we get that under control before the dollar implodes?
Right, Tom. And that's why, anybody that's out there and they vote for Dick Durbin, I can't imagine that they're very informed as a voter. Dick Durbin's been in Congress 38 years, 24 years in the U.S. Senate. He has kicked the can down the road. He has voted for dozens of debt ceiling increases, thousands of tax increases. Dick Durbin has been an enemy of Social Security. Social Security has only got about 10 years left in it, an enemy of Medicare, an enemy of all of this, and leaving this, as you say, $27 trillion to future children and grandchildren. That's what Dick Durbin has done. That's what happens when you elect career politicians time and time again. So, you know, I'm in favor of a balanced budget. I'm in favor of cutting where we need to, going after waste. There's a lot of waste in Medicaid. And at the end of the day, though, Tom, if they keep voting for Dick Durbin, yeah, the United States is headed for economic disaster. There's no doubt about it. We've got to rein it in.
Senator Dick Durbin has been, since you've been speaking about Senator Durbin in the last two or three answers here, Mark, he's been more than vocal, judging, saying Republicans' hypocrisy when it comes to pushing forward this Supreme Court nominee and the hearing scheduled to start next week.
Right. So I'm an honest guy. You know, I mean, and there is hypocrisy. You know, Mitch McConnell shouldn't have, you know, 4 years ago he should have said that we're not going to confirm Merrick Garland because we have the votes not to confirm him. You know, that's what I would have done. You know, elections have consequences. As far as Amy Coney Barrett, I would vote for her tomorrow. I think she's going to be a wonderful Supreme Court justice. I think she's a terrific lady. It's only in Dick Durbin's world does the fact that somebody has a strong faith make them unqualified to serve on the highest court. So, you know, ultimately it's Amy Coney Barrett today, folks, but if you have any level of faith whatsoever, Dick Durbin is coming after you. His worldview is that you should be able to get a job, but although if you have too strong a faith, that should be a disqualifier. And you see it time and time again where they have no respect for religious liberty.
Some of the phraseology, and a lot of it floating out there right now, most important election in our lifetime. Now, we've heard this phrase used before. But let's take that comment at face value, and let's say this coming election is the most important of our lifetime because the massive 180-degree swing you've seen between our two parties right now. Why, in your opinion, is this the most important election of our lifetime?
Well, Tom, I think everything you said, that there's, I mean, on the left right now, you have people that are, you know, there's no faith, you know, a godless mob that wants to take over the country, turn it over to vigilantes, Black Lives Matter crowd that, you know, would destroy America and how we've known America. It would no longer be a capitalist system. They'd move strongly towards socialism in very large increments, too. You look at what they've been doing over the course of time, and that's their end game. So this is it. You know, America hangs in the balance, and the hope is that we're, you know, the good people in America are raising children to the values that this country was built upon and that we can survive this storm. But if we lose this election, I agree. You know, they're talking about stacking the court and putting 10 justices, liberal justices on. They're talking about, you know, all kinds of things that ultimately, you know, that is their end game. Make no mistake about it. AOC drives the Democratic Party right now, her and her colleagues, far left colleagues.
So I'm watching some television. I see messaging that out of Kentucky, and Mitch McConnell's opponent says he's been in the office too long. Okay, let's talk about this. How long is too long? When Senator Dick Durbin has been in that office as long as he has, how long is too long, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, Mitch McConnell's been there too long, too. I mean, I want him to beat Amy McGrath, but let's face it. I mean, he should have hung it up a long time ago. That's not good for America for him to... He's been there 35 years. Dick Durbin's been there 38 years, so even longer. What happens, Tom, is, you know, Dick Durbin found a lobbying job for his wife, found a lobbying job for his son. His family got filthy rich. The special interests got everything that they want, and the middle class and the small business guy got killed. I'm running on the middle class, Tom. You know, right now, 1% of America has more wealth than the bottom 90%. That's Dick Durbin's legacy, this disparity in wealth and income, and that's why young people are attracted to socialism. So these career politicians are horrible. What happens when you have career politicians is the lobbyists get real comfortable. And, you know, the lobbyists, the wealthiest individuals and biggest corporations write the tax code. They write all the rules to their benefit. And the smaller guy, the small family farmer, he has a hard time competing. He has to deal with all these regulations and everything else that they keep heaping upon them. And, you know, that's Dick Durbin. So if we keep going down that road, you know, say goodbye, middle class. We've already said that, you know, over his 4 decades in Congress, but I mean, even more so. And bye bye to small businesses and family farms and family businesses.
Mark Curran, he is the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, seat currently held by Senator Dick Durbin. We're now 28 days from the election. If nobody gets to hear you again, and you get 30 seconds to talk to somebody about why put that mark next to Mark Curran, why pull that handle next to Mark Curran. Mark, you got 30 seconds. Tell people why. Why Mark Curran?
Tom, as sheriff, I was under budget 12 years in a row. I kept Lake County safe. I'd love to keep Illinois safe and work towards that. Dick Durbin's been there 38 years. He's the reason why Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid are unfunded and why we have a $27 trillion debt. We need a change, folks. We need somebody that's going to go fight for you, who's going to defend your liberty, who's going to defend your Second Amendment rights, your First Amendment right. You shouldn't have to choose between being a faithful Christian or a person of faith and making a living. You should have both in this world. That's what freedom of worship is. So I'm out there fighting. I'm working very, very hard. I'd love to get big numbers out of Southern and Central Illinois just to help ensure the victory. We're going to do better than anybody else up here. This is where I come from up here. I have strong ties. I have been to your communities. I've been everywhere in Illinois. I love Southern Illinois. I love Central Illinois. I love to get down there. I had a terrific time down in Carbondale and Collinsville and Marion and Quincy, and would love to get back down there again in the next 28 days. So go to electcurran.com. Help me out any way you can. Please say prayers for me. We're ready to do it, folks.